Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and blessings, and welcome to another installment of the Gist of Freedom Estate. This show is produced by acclaimed historian, educator, and author Leslie Gist, and serves as our weekly live online discussion to celebrate the African-American experience by honoring all the people, past and present, black and white, who, with faith and focus, are preserving our rich history through literature, the arts, the skilled trades, and the humanities. We thank you for joining us tonight, and we'd love you to be a part of tonight's discussion by calling in with your comments or questions to 347-324-5552.
I see how those stories, our collection of struggles and hopes and dreams, I see how that's what drives Barack Obama every single day. And I didn't think that it was possible, but let me tell you, today I love my husband even more than I did 4 years ago, even more than I did 23 years ago when we first met. Let me tell you why. See, I love that he has never forgotten how he started. I love that we can trust Barack to do what he says he's going to do, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard. Yeah, I love that for Barack, there is no such thing as us and them. He doesn't care whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, or none of the above. He knows that we all love our country. And he is always ready to listen to good ideas. He's always looking for the very best in everyone he meets. But in 2009, the cavalry arrived, and our new president, Barack Obama, came in. He organized a rescue, he made the tough calls, and he saved the American auto industry. Now you know, Mitt Romney, he saw the same crisis, and you know what he said, let Detroit go bankrupt. Now sure, Mitt Romney loves our lakes and our trees. He loves our cars so much, they even have their own elevator. But the people who design and build and sell those cars, well, in Romney's world, the cars get the elevator and the workers get the shaft.
Came to this city in 1961, the year Barack Obama was born. I was one of the 13 original Freedom Riders. We were on a bus ride from Washington to New Orleans, trying to test a recent Supreme Court ruling that banned racial discrimination on buses crossing state lines. We tested the waiting room. We said our struggle was not against individuals, but against unjust laws and customs. Our goal was a true freedom for every American. Since then, America has made a lot of progress. We are a different society than we were in 1961. And in 2008, we showed the world the true promise of America when we elected President Barack Obama. A few years ago, a man from Rock Hill, inspired by President Obama's election, decided to come forward. He came to my office in Washington and said, I am one of the people who beat you I want to apologize. Will you forgive me? I said, I accept your apology. He started crying. He gave me a hug. I hugged him back, and we both started crying. This man and I don't want to go back. We don't want to go back. Your vote is precious, almost sacred. It is the most powerful nonviolent tool we have to create a more perfect union. Not too long ago, people stood in unmovable lines. They had to pass a so-called literacy test, pay a poll tax. On one occasion, a man was asked to count the number of bubbles in a bar of soap. On another occasion, one was asked to count the jelly beans in a jar, all to keep them from casting their ballot. Today, it is unbelievable that there are Republican officials are trying to stop some people from voting. They are changing the rules. Cutting polling hours and imposing a requirement intended to suppress the vote. The Republican leader in the Pennsylvania House even bragged that his state's new voter ID law is going to allow Governor Romney to win the state. That's not right, that's not fair, and that is not just.
Our nation. I think about what it means for my girls I think about what it means for the world that we're leaving for them and for all of our children. And one of the best things that I get to do as First Lady is I get to travel around the country and spend time with children. And they just, oh, they make me laugh, they make me warm, they just, oh, child's in the room and you can forget. But as I travel around the country and I look in the eyes of the children that I meet, I see very clearly what's at stake. I see it in the eyes of a child whose mom has just lost her job and she wonders how her family is going to pay the bills. I see it in the eyes of a child whose father has just been deployed and that little boy is trying so hard to be brave for his younger brothers and sisters. I see it in the eyes of a child stuck in a crumbling school who knows it and looks around and wonders, what does this mean for my future? See, that's how I see the world, and quite frankly, I think that's how most of us see the world. And what we have to remember is that is what we all share, that regardless of where we're from, or what we look like, or how much money we have, we all want to leave something better for our kids. In my family growing up. That's why even after my dad was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, he hardly ever missed a day of work at the city water plant, no matter how sick he was or how tired he felt, because he wanted something better for me and my brother. That's why he did it. Same thing was true in Barack's family. That's why his grandmother woke up before dawn each morning to catch the bus to her job at the bank. And even when she was passed over for promotion year after year because she was a woman, she rarely complained because she knew she had to do that to give something more to Barack and his sister. But that is what the American dream is all about. That's it. The fundamental belief that even if you don't have much, if you work hard, and if you do what you're supposed to do, you can build a decent life for yourself and an even better life for your children. But for too many people, that dream feels like it's slipping away. And even before this recession hit, for too many people, all that hard work wasn't adding up like it used to. For years now, middle-class families have seen their incomes falling while the cost of things like health care and college tuition have gone through the roof. And this is something that Barack and I heard in every corner of the country during the campaign. Folks asking themselves, are we going to go broke if we get sick? What if we can't pay the mortgage? What do we do then? How will I ever afford to send my kids to college if I'm not rich? Where am I going to find a good public school for my kids? And if I can't, then what am I going to do? How will I give my kids half the chance that I have? Folks all over the country worrying that maybe that fundamental American promise was being broken, and worse yet, no one in Washington was listening. And that is why my husband ran for president in the first place. That's why he did it. Because he knows that his life, like mine, is only possible because of that American dream. And keeping that dream alive for all Americans, keeping it within reach for all of us, believe me, is what drives him every single day. That's what keeps him up at night. That folks like all of you from across the country joined our campaign. That's why you did all that work. That's why you made those phone calls and knocked on those doors in the freezing snow and the blazing sun. Remember that? And I believe that that's why you and I, that's why we're here tonight. We're not here just because of an election. We're not here just because we support folks that we love. We're here to renew that promise. We're here to restore that dream. We're here because we believe that no child's future should be limited because of the neighborhood they're born in.
Yes.
We believe that every child should have access to outstanding public schools.
Yes. It is the same vision he fought for in the Illinois State Senate and in the U.S. Senate. It's the same vision that he talked about all those months on the campaign trail. And believe me, folks, it is the same vision that has guided him. The change he has been fighting for every single day in the White House. That is the vision. But Barack knows that too many folks are out of work right now. He knows that too many paychecks don't stretch to cover the bills. But that's why he cut taxes for middle-class families. That's why he cut taxes for small businesses as well. Not once, not twice, but 16 times. So that these businesses can start creating jobs. That's why he stopped credit card companies from jacking up rates and my husband signed into law as President of the United States was the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act. Barack believes that every young person deserves the chances that he and I had to get an education. That's why he's reforming our schools from top to bottom. He has made historic investments in our community colleges, something that Jill has been a tremendous advocate for, as a proud community college professor herself. He's increased student aid and tuition tax credits. He's eliminated tens of billions of dollars in wasteful subsidies to banks providing student loans, and he's sending that money where it belongs, right to the hands of the students. Far too many families.
That's why he refused to take the easy route and walk away from health insurance reform, because Barack will never forget how his own mother spent the final month of her life fighting not for time with her family, fighting not for a moment of reflection and introspection, but she spent her time fighting with her insurance company because they said her cancer was a pre-existing condition. And believe me, Barack doesn't want any family in this country to ever have to go through something like that ever again. Drop your coverage because you get sick. They can't do that anymore. They no longer deny your kids coverage because they've got pre-existing conditions. Kids can stay on their parents' plans until they get settled, until they're 26 years old. And they deserve coverage. They have to provide preventive care. Important things like breast cancer screenings and prenatal care at no extra cost. No extra charges, no extra fees. That's not just about saving money. That's going to save lives. These are just some examples. Just some examples of the kind of change that we're already making.
Woo!
And it is because of folks like all of you that so much has been accomplished in such a short period of time. This has been a year and a half worth of work that I just listed off. I know that a lot of folks are still hurting. A lot of folks. And I know that for so many people, change has not come fast enough. And believe me, it hasn't come fast enough for Barack either. Not when so many folks are still looking for work and struggling to pay the bills and worrying about providing for their kids. But I think that many of us came into this so excited, expecting to see all the change we talked about happen all at once right away. The minute Barack set foot. But the truth is, it is going to take a lot longer to dig ourselves out of this hole than any of us would like. The truth is, this is the hard part. This is the hard part of change. But I ask you to remember, that's exactly what Barack told us. That's exactly what we all told each other during all those months on the campaign trail. He told us that change is hard. He said that. He said that change is slow, that it doesn't just happen on its own. We all understood that change takes struggle and sacrifice and compromise. And from the first days of the nation, every time folks have tried to make change, they face fear and doubt. Every time they face setbacks and disappointments. But as Americans, we have always pushed past the cynicism and kept moving forward. And that is exactly what we must do again today. Because there's so much at stake right now. There's so much at stake for our future, but more importantly for our children's future. And we have come much too far to turn back now. Rebuilding that middle class security for every single American. We've come too far to stop putting the American dream that I know, that my husband knows, that all of you know, back within reach for every American. We have come too far.
Yes.
But it's not going to be easy. Because real change never, never comes easy. But let me share with you something that I do during times when change seems hard. I think about my dad. Yeah, I think about how, no matter how tired he got, as he struggled to walk, I still picture my father sitting on the edge of his bed, struggling to button his shirt to go to work. But he never stopped trying to get up. He just kept on going every single day. And that keeps me going. I think about Barack's grandmother and how, no matter how discouraged she felt, she just kept getting up and giving her very best. And I think about all the folks like her, like my father, the folks that I've met all across this country over the past several years, the folks who keep getting up, the folks who work that extra shift, they keep moving, the folks who take the extra class, they don't stop, the folks who wake up every morning without complaint, without regret, and they do everything they can for the people they love. They inspire me every single day. And you know what else I think about? I think about how we felt on election day.
Can we do this?
Yeah!